morning. It's great that you could join with us this morning at KCC. My name's Nicola and I'm the pastor here at Nottingley. And today is a special day. It's Remembrance Sunday. And this year marks the 75th anniversary of the end of the Second World War. So we're going to give an opportunity during the service for us to all remember those who served and who are serving, those who have fallen for our freedom in the wars around the world. At 11 o'clock, we will observe a 2-minute silence with the nation. I'll put on a clip with a scripture reading and then a space to either sit where you are or to go and stand on your doorstep with the rest of the nation to observe the silence. Also this week, we'll be continuing our series called Follow Me. It's a series about our daily disciplines and the lifestyle of a follower of Jesus, what this could look like in our everyday lives. Let us pray. Lord, on a day that we remember those who have fallen in battle for us, we remember you who paid the ultimate price, who died to set us free. We pray that today we would remember you and meet with you, our loving, living God. We pray that today we will listen and hear your voice and allow you to change us by your Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we're continuing our series called Follow Me, and we're looking at what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. What are those daily and those regular things that we should be doing to help us follow him? This week we're looking at the importance of reading our Bible and how we can do it, and giving some strategies on how we can read our Bible to get the best out of the Bible and to help us to grow more like Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I have quite a number of Bibles. My shelves and my desks, there's Bibles everywhere. And I have them for different occasions and they all have different purposes. And I've just got a few here to show you. This is my everyday Bible. It's a New Living Translation. And I use this just to read the Bible on a daily basis when I'm reading it just for me, just to read the Bible during my devotions. I also have this one. Now this one is a little bit tatty and torn on the outside, but this one is quite old. It's been around the world. It's traveled with me to Africa and to Canada and to lots of different places around the world. And I use this when I'm preparing messages or words, or really want to study the Bible quite deeply and have a deeper understanding of the context and what the scriptures are meaning. I also have Bibles such as the Message Bible, which are not translations, they're paraphrases, which means that they're written from other Bibles and not taken from the original scriptures. But these are great because they're written in everyday language, and sometimes something just jumps out at us and it gives a different understanding and a clearer understanding to something that you're not maybe quite getting in another version. And I also have this one. It's called Good News for All Man. Now, this is a New Testament that I got when I lived in Sierra Leone, and it really helped me to learn Creole. It's a Creole New Testament, and this one has recently been translated. And it's great that the Creole speakers can have a Bible to read for themselves in their own language. They haven't got the full one yet. They're working on the Old Testament, but they have the New Testament. Now, one thing that I do have is my phone, and my Bible on my phone is the one that I go to a lot. It's one that is very easily accessible. I listen to it when I'm in a queue, in a waiting room. I can read it anywhere. And one thing is it's got a play button, so it can actually read it to you. And that really revolutionized my listening, because I'm not a reader. I don't read a lot of books. I find it very difficult to sit down and read a whole book, or I'm quite slow at reading, so it takes me a long time. But sometimes just to listen to the Bible helps me massively. And I often listen to it in the car, or when I'm cooking, or when I'm just out and about doing things in the house. I'll play the Bible, and it's amazing how much that really gets into your system, into your heart and into your mind, and you can dwell on the Bible then. You know, it's so important that we read the Bible. And when I've read the Bible, I can read the same scripture many, many times, but sometimes God will just pinpoint something in that scripture, and you'll think, how on earth have I never read that before? Something just really jumps out at you. And God can speak to you through different scriptures at different times and really bring things alive to you. God will pinpoint something that will really speak directly into your lives. You know, we should all read the Bible, but if we're honest, how's it going? You know, do we read it every day? Do we go long stints without it? Have we not read the Bible for quite a long time? Do we really, some of you may read it every day for diligently and have that real good discipline and good rhythm to your lives. But do we always realise the power that is in the Bible? You know, sometimes we can pick up our Bible and we can read our Bible and we don't always realise that what we're reading is absolutely powerful. I'm just going to tell you a few facts about the Bible. Now, the Bible is the most sold book in history. Many people are familiar with the Bible, whether they subscribe to the beliefs or not, but according to the Guinness Book of World Records, the Bible is the most sold and widely distributed book in history, with the total sales exceeding 5 billion copies since 1851. And the Guinness Book of Records also estimates that there's at least in the last 3,000 years, there have been around 5 trillion copies sold. And although it's impossible to get the exact number, that is what they estimate. There are approximately 100 million sold each year, allowing it to continue to lead the charge of the best-selling non-fiction books in the world. Now, the Wycliffe Bible translators say that at least 7,000 languages are spoken or signed around the world, and at least 1.5 billion people do not have a full Bible in their language. That's more people than the entire continent of Africa. More than 1,500 languages have access to the New Testament and some portions of Scripture in their own language. Almost 700 languages have the complete Bible translated. But at least 2,000 languages still need a Bible translation started. And work is being done in more than 2,700 languages worldwide at the moment. You know, we here in the UK have the opportunity to read the Bible. We have the freedom to read, to buy, to share, to study, to hear the Bible, to listen to it, to go to church. How many Bibles do you have? We have the transforming Word of God in our hands, on our shelves, in our desks, in our handbags. If someone said, "I have something that would completely transform your life," would you leave it in a box, in a cupboard, on a shelf to gather dust? And only bring it out on special occasions? Or would you treasure it and read it and use it as often as possible? Just going to watch a short clip now from the Bible Society of a man called John Young, who talks about his father who treasured and carried his Bible with him at a very difficult time in his life. This will be followed by a time of remembrance.
This is the Bible that my father took to war. It's tattered, well used, and it was presented to him by his church just before he enlisted. And I can only think that this Bible helped him tremendously in times of enormous danger and stress, when he perhaps got away to a quiet time from the front for a while. He would take it out, encourage him, and renew his strength, certainly spiritual strength. It opened so easily at Romans chapter 12. I'm sure he read lots of other parts. But Romans 12 is very poignant in the fact that it talks about our attitude to enemies. And he didn't want to kill or hurt anyone, but I suppose he had to in the course of his duty. But in that chapter we read, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." Dad always regarded the Bible as the most important thing for us to learn our Christian faith, and therefore for me as a child it became part of my life, that this was a book I should treasure and read and study. And the fact that it meant so much to him when I discovered it made it all the more important to me. I mean, I admire him tremendously, really, and I don't think I could ever have gone through what he went through. You say that, I suppose, but when it comes to it, you do extraordinary things as he did. But the sort of man he certainly wasn't a fighting man, and I admire him and all he went through.
At the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, the guns fell silent on the Western Front to bring to an end the First World War. Our nation and Commonwealth has recalled that moment through our armistice and remembrance events down the decades. Decades during which the men and women of our armed services have continued to pay the ultimate sacrifice. And so many years later, we remember lives sacrificed in the service of our country and those traumatized and injured in conflict. May we have such a devotion to justice and freedom that the heroism of all who fought and still fight may continue to be remembered in a nation of service and in a world of peace. Jesus said, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. Let us remember before God and commend to his sure keeping those who have died for their country in war, those whom we knew and whose memory we treasure, and all who have lived and died in the service of mankind. They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them."
So why should we read God's word? As part of the Ealing Pentecostal movement, one of our fundamental truths is the Bible. And this is what it says. It says, "We believe the Bible as originally given to be without error, the fully inspired and infallible Word of God and the supreme and final authority in all matters of faith and conduct. You know, God's Word is inspired. It's given by God. You know, when we look at this Bible, it's not a book that's written just by man, even though man penned it and put it onto paper. God inspired the writings and inspired the people who put the books together to make the Bible. You know, the Bible shows God's character. It helps us to know more about who God is and more about what he's done and what he's doing. It helps us to know him that little bit more and know more about his character and how we can become more like him. All the way through the Bible points to Jesus. You know, we look at the New Testament and we look through the Gospels, and that's the life of Jesus. And then we look at the other books in the New Testament, and they point backwards to Jesus, and they talk about how we as Christians can live like Jesus. But you know, the Old Testament also points to Jesus. Right from the first book of the Bible in Genesis, it talks about God's plan for mankind. God's plan for mankind is revealed, and God's redemption plan and for the reconciliation of man and God is there right from Genesis all the way through. No, last week, a few weeks ago, we did a series on the book of Ruth. And when we look at the whole of the book of Ruth, it's a representation of God's plan of redemption. In John chapter 5, verse 39, it says, "You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me." Jesus is talking there about all of the scriptures, all of the Old Testament scriptures pointing to him. You know, when we read the Bible, it helps us to imitate God. It shows us how we should live and how we should be and how we should live a right life. How we should live to keep us from sinning, to keep us from doing those things that are wrong in God's sight. When we read the Bible, it helps us to renew our minds, to know God's will. You know, the Bible can guide us and direct us. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." When we read the Bible, God can direct us in the way that we should go. The Bible has power. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God." You know, it's so important that we grasp the power that these words contain. The power that the Bible contains. You know, it's not just a group of letters or stories, a history book, as it were, but it's powerful. And as God works through it and God speaks through his Holy Spirit, it can have a massive impact on your life and the lives of those around you. As we listened to the clip earlier from the Wycliffe Bible Translators, reading the Bible and having the Bible in your own language and be able to understand it can break you free from all sorts of things that are keeping you tied. It can break you through free from unforgiveness. It can break you free from having addictions, and it can cause you to transform your life. In Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, "How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, and that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word." When we read the Bible and we really internalize it, then it's powerful to change our lives. And some lives that it changed are here in Corrie ten Boom's testimony. Many of us will know the story of Corrie ten Boom. Her and her sister Betsy were imprisoned in Ravensbrück, a notorious Nazi concentration camp during World War II. Now, the incredible story of Corey and Betsy just shows the incredible power of God's word to bring light and life in the darkest and most desperate times of our lives. You know, when Betsy and Corey arrived at Ravensbrück Processing Centre, when their new arrivals, they go for a shower, they have to take off all their clothes and all the possessions are taken from them and are given new clothes to wear, different clothes to wear and shoes. And at this time, Corey took a small Bible that she'd brought with her and hid it in her clothes. And as they were going through and as they were going through the centre, the SS man ran their hands over every prisoner, front, back and sides, just checking to make sure that nobody had taken anything through. Nobody was trying to take any of their possessions through into the barracks, into the camp. Now, the woman ahead of Corey was searched three times. And Betsy, who was stood behind Corey, was searched. But nobody laid a hand on Corey. She walked through, and near the exit door to the building was a second ordeal. A line of women guards examined each prisoner again. So Corey slowed down, and as she reached them, the officer in charge shoved her and said, "Move along, you're holding up the line." So Betsy and Corey arrived in the barracks in the middle of the night, bringing not only the Bible, but a knowledge of the power of him whose story it was. You know, Corey testified of a redemptive spiritual reality that God brought about through their ministry of his word in those darkest times of their lives. He said, "But as the rest of the world grew stranger, one thing became increasingly clear, and that was the reason the two of us were here. Why others should suffer, we were not shown. As for us, from morning until lights out, whenever we were not in the ranks for roll call, our Bible was the centre of an ever-widening circle of help and hope. Like waves clustered around a blazing fire, we gathered around it, holding out our hearts to its warmth light. The blacker the night around us grew, the brighter and truer and more beautiful burned the word of God." In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." In her book, The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom says, "In darkness, God's truth shines most clear." It's so important that we read the Bible. It's so important that reading the Bible is part of our everyday rhythm as a follower of Christ. So how can we read the Bible? So we know that it's important to read the Bible. It's important to read the Bible in our own language. You know, when we look at all of those countries that have had translations, and when I look at this one, this was great when people first got hold of the Good News for All Man, the Gospel, and the New Testament in Creole. It enabled people to read and understand the Bible more. And that's the same for us. You know, we take it for granted that we have the Bible in English, but sometimes we can struggle. I struggle with the King James Bible. I find that difficult because it's in a language from years ago that I don't fully understand. Some of the words within the King James Bible and some of the phrases are not in my everyday language and not in my really known language within English. And so I find that difficult to read. So I kind of plumped for the New Living Translation or the NIV. These are my preferred versions, and I use these to study my Bible, and they help me understand the word more because it's in a language that I understand. And it's so important that we do choose a Bible. And before I held up the Message, and sometimes I do look at the Message, and sometimes when you look at the the parts of the Bible. It tells it in a language that's really easy to understand. But this is not a translation from the original and shouldn't be used as just your only Bible. It's important that you choose a proper translation, that New Living Translation, the King James or the NIV. It's so important that we pray before we read the Bible. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the word that we're reading. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things through God's word. As we're reading, that he reveals things to our heart. We need to ask God, God to help us to really internalize what we're reading. God can direct us or redirect us and correct us. And the Bible can help us to know him more. So we need to pray that God will do that, that God will bring revelation, God will bring understanding, God would help us to love him more, that the Bible would inspire us, and that the Holy Spirit would help the Bible to change us. That it's not just a book that we read, but it's a book that would help to change and transform our lives. One of the best ways to do this is to get a plan. You know, sometimes we read things like this, Our Daily Bread, and it's great to have a devotion. We can get them off the internet. There's all sorts of different devotions out there where it gives a little bit of a scripture and it gives a teaching alongside it. That's brilliant, but we need to read the whole Bible. Reading and picking little bits from the Bible is okay, but we need to read all of it. The whole Bible was put together for a reason. It was written for a reason. Even those tricky bits, even those long lists of names that we find hard. You know, all of the books and the passages of the Bible are important. And the easiest way to do this is to get a plan. I'm currently reading the Bible, the chronological Bible, and it's an app that I've taken from my phone, the Bible app. And it's great because I can tick off and I can mark off when I've read that day's Bible readings. And it's my plan shows the Bible. I'm able to read the Bible as it happened, chronologically. We need to be prepared. We need to get a book and a pen. I've got one here. And I write sometimes. I'll sit there and I will write what God tells me. It's so important that if we're praying and asking God to speak to us through his word, that we get a pen, and when he does speak, we write it down. It's so important because we can go back and say, yeah, God said that and that came to pass. This is what I need to do. This is what I need to implement. It's so easy to forget these things when we walk away and we get busy during the day. We need to write down what God is saying. We need to write down what we've learned, and we need to act upon it. You know, the Bible was never meant to merely inform us. The Bible was meant to transform us. Now I'm just going to tell you four steps, really, that would help us when we're reading our Bible. The first one is we have to read the Bible. We have to make sure that we read it often. It's a discipline, it's a habit, it's a rhythm that we need to put into our daily lives. You know, if we're finding that difficult to start with, you know, I'm not a reader. So when I first started reading the Bible, I found it hard just to sit down and read a lot at a time. Start with 5 minutes. Read 5 minutes of the Bible. Read one section of the Bible. You know, and we have to look through the whole Bible. I said before, we need to not just do the devotionals, but we need to look at reading the whole Bible. The Bible, when we read it, will give us such a breadth of knowledge of God and a full understanding and a full picture of what God has done and what God is doing. We need to study the Bible. When we can read it, we can study it, we can listen to preachers, we can listen to teachings. There's loads of stuff out there on the internet. And we can, especially now during lockdown, all of the churches have gone online. There's lots of teaching material out there. You know, we can sit on a Sunday and we can come to church on a Sunday, but it's so important that that is not just your food. That's not just how you listen and hear the Bible. It's so important that you read the Bible for yourself. It's like a child when a child is very young, the parents will feed them. That's a little bit like preaching. You get that taught to you. But as a child grows older, they'll start to feed themselves. And it's so important that we as Christians learn how to feed ourselves from the Bible. It's great to get involved in Bible studies. You can do your own Bible studies. There's all sorts of things that I have years ago, and I've still got them. I did Sword of the Spirit, which was a Bible study that was written by Colin Dye. And we did a whole series on this. And it was a really in-depth teaching of the Bible. You can do that on your own. You can do that with others. You can use different study materials. But that will give you a bigger, deeper understanding of what the Bible is saying. You know, my study Bible, I have some, my study Bible, this one that I showed you that's really old and tatty. This one's got notes at the bottom. So it has the scripture, but it also has explanatory notes at the bottom. So it can explain those tricky scriptures that you don't understand, and it links it to other places in the Bible. And if you really want to study and find out what the Bible is saying, it'll give you a deeper insight, and it's a real good tool to use when you're studying the Bible. You know, it's important that we also read books that explain and highlight teaching. There's so many good Christian books out there that will really deepen our knowledge and would just help us to just know more about the Bible. We need to have that determination to learn. The third tool is to memorize the Bible. Now, this is always difficult for me because I've got a memory like a sieve, and I find it so hard to remember things. But memorizing scripture is so important. Jesus did it. When he was tempted in the wilderness, he recalled scripture and he spoke it out. It's important that we memorize the Bible and parts of the Bible and it to sink deeply into our hearts. When we do that, we can recall it when needed. When we're praying for somebody, God can bring a scripture to mind. When we're faced with a difficult situation in life, we can voice out a scripture that we've learned, that we've memorized, that we've read in the Bible, and come against something and say, no, this is not right, because this is what the Word of God says. The Word of God is powerful and effective in our everyday lives. There's a little testimony here of an American pastor who lived in Hawaii, and he went to China to train faith leaders experiencing Christian persecution. But he quickly realized that he had more to learn from them. He met up with 22 Christian leaders in the communist country, 18 of who had been imprisoned previously. He said they had told him they'd smuggled Bible passages on small pieces of paper for others to memorize. Now, their meeting was underground, and the American pastor said, if we get caught, what will happen to me? And they went off into the mountains into a small hotel room where there were 700 people gathered there. And they said to him, well, if we get caught, you'll get deported within 24 hours. But if we get caught, we'll be in prison for 3 years. These 22 Chinese Christian leaders oversaw 22 million people in total in the country with 1.3 billion people. So in the beginning, short on Bibles, the pastor from Hawaii asked them to turn to 2 Peter, and he realized one of the women handed her Bible to another leader, but she managed to recite the entire book. During a break, he asked her about it, and she said that they have a lot of time in prison. Said they don't confiscate Bibles. Said no, they smuggle in pieces of paper with portions of scripture on them. And this is what she said to him. That's why we memorize it as fast as we can, because even though they can take the paper away, they can't take away what's hidden in our heart. You know, those Chinese leaders and those Chinese Christians who are not allowed to have a physical Bible, they memorized scripture and it was powerful. It's important as well to meditate on the Bible. When we meditate on something, it penetrates deep into our hearts. You know, something that we can remember and recall and digest. Something that's really deep in our heart and our mind. When we meditate on things, it affects our thoughts, it affects our motives, and it affects our actions. What are you thinking about? What are you believing? So many things get thrown at us during a day and during the week. But what we believe and have deep down within us will determine how we live our lives, how we act. It'll determine and change our character. It will depend, our courage will depend on it, of how we go through our daily lives. Our attitudes will change depending on what we have deep within us. In Joshua 1 verse 7, it says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So important to meditate, just to take that space, not just to read the Bible, put it down and walk off. We need to give space for it to sink in. We need space to think about it. We need space for God to speak to us and for us to hear God's voice within that. We need time for it to really seep into our soul and seep into our spirit and seep into our hearts and minds. Psalm 1 says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the river bank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." So what would happen to your life if, when faced with difficulties, you can immediately recall and verbally speak out scripture and truth? What would happen if we knew the Bible and allowed the truths to transform us? What would happen if we realized the power of the Word of God and let it be the light and the sword and let it work through every part of our lives? What would happen if we knew and lived our lives as God intended us to live, as it's written in the Bible? Transformation. Transformation in our own lives, transformation in our family's life, transformation in our community, transformation in our church. Will you do it? Do you want it? We need to make sure that we discipline ourselves. What one change can you make today to improve how you read the Bible? Maybe that's just a start, but we need to make that step, and we need to make it part of our daily rhythm of our lives, something that we do on a daily basis, just like eating our meals. When we read the Bible and really take it in, we will see God move in our lives. Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you that your word is living, that your word is powerful. Lord, we want to thank you that here in the UK, we can read your word without persecution. Lord, we want to thank you, God, that as we read your word, that you speak to us, that you guide us, that you teach us, that you correct us, Lord. And we pray, God, that as we seek to read your Bible more and as we step forward, God, that you would speak directly into our lives and our hearts. And God, that you would bring transformation to ourselves, Lord. You'd bring transformation to our church, and you'd bring transformation to our communities. Lord, we pray that as we read your word, we would live lives as true disciples of you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's great that you could join us today. Don't forget that we have a coffee time where we can have some time of chatting together straight after the service this morning. I will put the Zoom link in the chat. It's also in the message that went out earlier this week. So have a great week. And it'd be great to be able to hear the stories of how reading your Bible this week has transformed your life and what God is saying through His Word.